All right, on the heels of the great Jack Bogut, we hear him. We hear from another legend, David Bolarato.
Jeez.
What, David? I'm not allowed to say that? How are you?
Good.
I was going to play a bunch of audio, but I'm sitting here and I'm going, I see David Bolarato out in the newsroom. I just spoke to him. Why would I just not eliminate the middleman? That's probably the best thing to do. And talk to you about what you spoke to Corey O'Connor about. I mean, that seemed to be a much better game plan, considering it'd be boring to play all this audio. So Corey O'Connor was in here today. He was speaking to Kiki from Wham-O. And so when he went to leave, okay, so he was on his way out, and we had bets. Tamira and I were betting. There were some other people in on the action. What intrepid reporter is going to be able to lasso Mayor-elect O'Connor and grab him and be able to get in a couple questions? Because Tamira had just come back from the airport with the Aer Lingus situation.
Right.
And there were other people doing different work and whatever. I was preparing for my show. And we all said, I bet the savvy news hound David Bolarato grabs his recorder and makes a beeline for the mayor-elect. That's exactly what happened.
Well, I stalked the studio waiting for him to come out.
You stalked the studio. So the ever affable and kind Corey O'Connor. And look, there's some things I disagree with Mayor-elect O'Connor. He came out of Kiki's studio and he goes, hey, what's up? And he starts, I mean, you can disagree with him politically. He is a good man and he is an affable guy and he wants to talk to you. We talked about NASCAR racing because he asked, but we have a mutual friend that actually drives a NASCAR.
Right.
So anyway, you went and you stalked him and you asked him about the budget and what else?
I also asked him about the social media post you had the other day too about Sophia Shapiro. And he said, well, she's qualified for the job even though she's young.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who are expressing an interest coming to Pittsburgh who have good credentials, people who've worked for the Obama administration, for former San Antonio mayor, and former transportation secretary Pete Buttigieg, and I said, and the governor's daughter. And he said, yes, but she's qualified for that position. Because a lot of people, I saw the responses you were getting from people on social media as well, because a lot of people were raising questions about it. I mean, if the city is in dire straits, should they be adding all of these positions or, you know, having somebody with that type of a title at that young of an age? But he says, no, these are the type of people who he wants, people who want to come back to Pittsburgh and to help build the city.
The crazy part is I didn't draw a conclusion. I asked a question, you know, and I'm glad you followed it up with him as he was in here. There are multi-prongs to the budget. There's the property tax. There's the city schools. There are a couple different prongs. There are businesses coming in. Right. From a 30,000-foot standpoint, how does Mayor-elect O'Connor look at the budget and how we're going to sort of right-size everything?
Well, I mean, he said there probably will be cuts, but again, this budget that has to be passed, and the school board, that's a completely different matter. It all affects the same taxpayers like me who lives in the city of Pittsburgh, but that's a different entity altogether. But he says that, you know, that budget has to be passed by December 31st, so he will not have been in office by the time that budget gets approved. He's obviously watching what's happening because he's going to inherit what the final spending plan looks like for the city. But he says there's probably going to have to be cuts, and you know, I asked him about the potential for taxes and the impact that could have on people, especially if both city government and the school boards are voting to do it. And you know, he says, look, yeah, it could be rough, but at least now we finally have a look at how bad things actually are in the city in terms of the money that we don't have and what's not there and what we've been saying for the last several years.
This may not be a direct question you asked him, maybe more of an inclination or a semi-guess from you. He's got 20 days until New Year's Eve, right? I think it's the 11th right now. Mm-hmm. Do you get the feeling that he's working full-time in his capacity right now to ramp up as the next mayor?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we've certainly seen that. I mean, he was pretty eager to get things going right after the election. I know I talked to somebody on Grant Street a couple of weeks ago who said, look, it was just a couple of days in and he's announcing already a new position for, you know, a new person to head this department and that department. And they weren't even sure about what their future might be. But you certainly do have that feeling that he certainly is jumping in full gear.
Do you think he'll be transparent with the public? You know, you stopped him. You stalked him in our hallway today. You asked him, do you think that those media sessions and answer, I mean, there were times, and not to not, this is just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
There were times, 3-4 month spans that went by with Ed Gainey, we didn't hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
That is fact. Right. I'm not trying to editorialize. That's
right.
Fact.
And the same thing would be true with Tom Murphy as well.
Mm-hmm.
There would be times where you wouldn't find him, especially if it was a controversial topic such as tax increment financing. And remember the phrase sparkle season and the downtown Lazarus and Lord and Taylor. I think it all depends. I think the inclination for Corey O'Connor is that he wants to be transparent. That's my feel for it. But then it'll be like any other mayor. How are they going to react when the heat starts pouring on full time? That'll be the question. I mean, I think at this point, it looks like he probably is not going to change his personality. I think he is an open individual who is very affable, very loquacious. And I think that will probably still be the case with him.
Last thing for you, I guess. I still get the impression that the transition to this point, it's a rolling transition, mm-hmm. has been amicable. Do you get that same impression?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think whatever bitterness there was probably put aside after the primary.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What else you got going on, David?
Well, I'm editing our Christmas show that we're doing.
Oh, you are? You're editing the Christmas show? Did you do anything with Pat Septak?
I did.
I heard that was kind of, not the assignment, but that was what you were going to do. Is this true?
It is.
Is it fun, entertaining?
It is fun and entertaining. I just need to find a minute, 20 seconds with somebody who's not here.
Did you run today, by the way? It was bitter cold.
Did. It was.
You got out there and you humped it today?
Yeah.
Man.
But you know what? I really started this thing called slow jogging, which you can Google and look up.
I call it walking.
It's not jogging slowly. It's actually a thing called slow jogging based on where you land your feet and the pace you're going and so on. But I started this about maybe a year after the COVID pandemic. And I believe this with all my heart, that going out there and doing this, whether it's cold or whatever, that breathing in that fresh air for that extended period of time, I think that really helps your immune system. And it's one of the reasons why I'm probably one of the few people I know of who never had COVID.
Or got sick. You know, my friends that do those cold plunges, same philosophy, they swear by it.
Yeah.
Same. And I'd like to, that's another thing, I'd kind of like to maybe try that out. I mean, not just a cold plunge. I mean,
that last year.
No, I'm talking about their deck, and they go every day and do that.
Yeah.
And sit in it for 10 minutes?
I think the max you're supposed to do is 3, but...
Oh, no, they go way overboard. Oh. But they swear that it helps make them more alive.
Well, Paul does that.
Yeah?
Paul Alexander, he doesn't have the unit, but I think he said that he will deliberately take a cold shower for X number of minutes to...
I always try to turn on the last 30 seconds of my shower to cold right before I get out, and it just kind of shocks me. We don't need to talk about people's shower habits, David. Good job covering the mayor-elect, and I assume that'll roll right into Grant Street whenever he takes office.
Let's hope so.
Who's going to play his inauguration?
It's Pat Septak, maybe. I don't know.
Stop it. PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement Traffic Center, KDK AAA Traffic. It's all powered by Bowser, Genesis of Monroeville. Trevin.
You guys are awesome. I don't know about the cold, though. The accidents on Ohio River Boulevard and Elizabeth Avenue in Avalon and in the 5200 block of Brownsville Road in Baldwin, they've been cleared. There's a new accident reported on the 1300 block of Freeport Road in O'Hara Township. Meanwhile, you can expect usual delays on all major arteries. Traffic is slow at this time at the Liberty Tunnel. The Parkway East is slow past Edgewood Swissville. Outbound is stacking towards the Oakland on-ramp. With AAA Traffic, I'm Trevin on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
Here we are, 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020. So much to get into. So David talked about it a little bit. I'm glad he talked to the mayor. The juggling of the budgets, though, that's, man, that's something.
But I also think it's time that we have to be transparent with the situation that we're in. And I think, you know, from the schools to the city, you know, I think it's important that we are now showing the actual numbers and saying what the crisis actually is.
I can get on board with that. People know, people understand, people see that from a political standpoint, there's going to be some that every host doesn't agree with Corey O'Connor on. But him showing it to you and putting it out there, and as he said, being transparent with it, is a really good way of operating. It's actually the only way to operate, because you could be at odds with some of the way he goes about his business, some of the things that he does, some of the numbers that are out there. But as long as he provides the information and doesn't act as if it's some big covert dealing, it's going to go a long way. David did ask about the new hires, and I think that's a big deal.
I mean, you have people from, you know, the Obama administration. We have somebody from Pete Buttigieg's office that wants to come and work in Pittsburgh.
You've got the governor's daughter.
And very well qualified. I mean, look at her record. And I think people that have lived in Pittsburgh, that have talent, that want to come back, is something that's very encouraging to me and the rest of my staff.
These people all need to make sure that there is a positive and tangible result that they're pouring into the city. Because until I see it, particularly with the governor's daughter, until I see a senior level staffer at 24 years old have a true impact, and I'm not saying she's not going to be. I'm still blown away no other media asked this question. None, other than me and then KDK, like by extension, us here. That nobody else, there's no expose written, nobody asked the governor, nobody did anything. It is not adversarial in the least, but it is a question that does need to be asked. And it's like people are afraid to ask it or go down that road. A 24-year-old senior staffer who is the governor of the daughter of the governor, walking into a job like that, that's a created position, is something that's a story. I don't care how much on the take you are or how badly you want to make sure that somebody keeps coming on your radio show. That needs to be talked about. And the silence is deafening from the media. Kudos to David Bolorado for asking that question. And I don't pat myself on the back, but I'm stunned nobody else brought it up. I'll just say that. I still have an open mind. Perhaps she's brilliant and could change the direction of the city. And maybe, just maybe, she has specific skills that no one else has. And what happens is she gets into Grant Street along with some of the other brilliant minds that O'Connor is allegedly bringing in, and the direction changes and does a 180. I hope for that. But it's okay to ask the question before the manifestation of that, if in fact that's what's going to happen. All right. I'm going to get to this social quandary coming up next. And I mean it. It is one that I see multiple times a week. It's one that I'm always uneasy about. And I'll tell you this. It's one where I look at and I go, I don't necessarily know if I'm doing it exactly right. But it's super easy to see the people who are doing it precisely wrong. Or at least I think they're doing it wrong. We'll dive into that and take your calls in just a little bit. Also, return to office. That's what PNC Bank says. I'll fill you in. Let's hit traffic right now. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, KDK AAA Traffic, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Trevin. Thanks, Michael. I got something straight from a horror movie in just a little bit before this hour's out. Top of the hour, I do want to get back into the happenings, allegedly, at PNC Bank, a return-to-office protocol that's got people all in a tizzy. But first, Brian's in Munhole. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Colin. Hey, yes, sir. Hey, I'd like to address, if you don't mind, the persistent budget shortfalls from our state, counties, and cities on down the line, and why the constant need to raise taxes.
I don't mind. Go ahead. Have at it.
There's one reason, Colin. I looked this up not that long ago. Pennsylvania is approximately, I think, say the sixth or seventh most populous state in the country. In other words, we're not the most. We're somewhere, you know, in the top 10. Why does the Pennsylvania legislator have the second most members? I'm total House and Senate, and they're among the most highest paid legislators. There you go, right there.
Well, we have our legislators. It's far too voluminous. There's too many. Excuse me. They're paid too much, and then they were late as could be with the budget. It's all bloat. There's too much bloat, and it's too big.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're referring my. It could be reduced. I guess that's redistricting. But anyway, Colin, you know what? I don't live in Pittsburgh. I live in Munhall.
I know. It says it right on the screen. Brian in Munhall. Yeah.
No, we're going to face. Look, I'm only a renter. I pay. I guess I help towards the property tax for the landlord indirectly. But you know what? Our district is building a $50 million elementary school. And believe me, it's going to come due. They're all going to be located at once, all the schools, all
Well, you can't say, here's the thing. You can't say, Brian, I'm only a renter. You know why? Because landlords are going to pass that money on to you. They're going to pass that. They're going to pass those dollars on to you. If they're charged more, then the buck is going to be passed to you and your rent's going to go up. So yeah, everybody feels it. It is what it is. There's just got to be a better way. But our government is far too big. Like, we have way, way, way too many people. The crazy part is some people in localized government, they really get stuff done. And then other people who are in a parallel position, they don't get anything done. And then you have some senators, some state senators, and you have some state reps that have been in that position for 30, 40 years that are just so comfortable in it, and they're just stealing a paycheck. And they don't really do anything. And they should get their paycheck with a gun and a ski mask because they're just, it's theft, robbery from all of us. 866-391-1020 is that number. Tom is in the car. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Hey, Colin. Love the show. Thank you for taking my call and maybe changing the subject a little. Yesterday, Marty had some guy on who had witnessed a white van with a possible kidnapping. Okay, and they made a big thing about it. The lady was banging, screaming.
I don't know anything about this.
Okay, well, that's what it was. And the guy's talking about what, you know, he called the cops, he followed the van. And then I don't know what happened. I think the guy just went home and didn't pursue it or didn't even try to find out if someone was in there. You didn't hear about it. Perhaps one of our callers might have. Love your show. I'll jump off.
Well, thank you. Where did this happen? I don't know. I don't listen to it. I just do my show.
It happened just the other day up at Sam's Club in Monroeville. The guy says he was in his car. He saw a white van pull out of Sam's Club, kind of parked close to him in the parking lot of Walmart, and he hears this woman screaming and banging on the inside of this van. He calls the cops several times. He starts to follow it. Now, rightfully so, I had to jump out of my car and make deliveries. I didn't hear the end. But from what I got of it, the guy just blew it off.
Who blew it off?
Oh, well, whatever.
Here's the thing. Okay, the way you're describing this. Yeah. What if it was a prank?
Well, you know what? you report it anyway.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I don't know. This is odd to me.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of your listeners probably heard about it. That's just like somebody come into home invade you with fake pistols, and when you get caught, they go, hey, it was just a prank.
Nobody's going to come into home invade me with any fake pistols. I may lose, but one guy's going to lose first.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you're that way, Colin. Yeah, hey, so a lot of your listeners had to have listened to it. I listen to KDKA all the time.
Oh, well, okay? Good stuff.
But yeah.
Well, so the guy, wait a minute. So was the guy following this van?
Yeah, for a while. And then I guess he just got tired and he went home.
So does that make him the world's greatest van follower, or what was he?
Well, first of all, second of all, this guy's going through a resume. He's our, oh, Marty, yo, I know all about this stuff. I was a CT in the Navy for 20 years
oh.
and worked for NSA and this and that. Oh, really? If you got the guts to admit that on the air, and then you got the guts to at least pull up and tell the guy, hey, dude, I just called the cops on you.
So did he call the cops or didn't he?
No, he called them several times. And then I guess he got disgusted and he just went, oh, well, whatever.
What were you delivering at the time?
What's that, sir?
What were you delivering there, Tom?
No. I deliver all over. I pick up stuff, and I listen to KDKA.
Nice. Well, we appreciate that. What do you enjoy being in your car? I would kind of like that, being mobile, seeing different things all the time.
Yeah, I do. And I've spoken to you over the phone about 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
And because I love your show.
Well, thank you.
What do you deliver?
Do you deliver like a good or product or what is it?
No, what I do is I go to I don't want to say.
No, that's okay. Do you go all around the tri-state though? Like, do you go all around the tri-state or you just go to a small area?
No. I go anywhere from Uniontown up to Homestead.
Oh, and, okay. All right.
Yeah, but if you see
anybody that's banging in the back of a white van and that's asking for your help, I hope you step in and, you know, figure it out. I'm lost on this, but it's good. I'll be an audience for it. It sounds like a decent story. I hope everything was okay. I hope nobody really got kidnapped or anything like that, but it is what it is. I still got to get into that story, and I will, about a social quandary. Now, I didn't face it today, but someone was in the midst of it, and I kind of think they need to be called out. Now people are calling about this van story. Well, just a couple people. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Let's hit traffic right now. Hopefully there's no people banging on white vans asking for help. Huh. You know, this social quandary that I'm going to get into is this. Now, it's an acceptability dilemma. What you're supposed to accept and how much, all of that. What's the acceptable amount of times at like a coffee shop? I saw this today. Say that there's a coffee shop and you go up, and I like to drink out of a hard mug. I don't like paper mugs, okay? If I'm at a coffee shop, I like to sit, mind my business, maybe listen to some music with my earphones in, of course. And maybe do a little work or do some reading on my phone or on the internet and drink out of a hard China mug. I always ask for a hard mug. So if there is, and whether you have a hard mug or not, if they have the carafe or whatever, the big container of coffee that you then self-fill, what's the acceptable amount of times you go up and you can self-refill? I think it's a hard one. One. If you're going to have one in there, okay, then you can have one for the road. If, like, you have a soft mug, or, you know, a paper cup. If you're sitting in there with a hard mug like me, you could have two cups in total. One that they generally pour for you behind the counter, and then the refill one. I saw a guy today, and I was there probably 90 minutes because I had a dentist appointment at 7:30 with the great Dr. Vicky Panko and her wonderful staff. So I went right over after that to the coffee shop, and I had one cup of coffee in like this prosciutto sort of Danishy sandwich kind of thing. Then I had another cup. When I finished that, I left. Took like 90 minutes. I take my time. I'm not in a hurry. In that time, there was a man sitting next to me. Not next to me, down a little bit. Non-disheveled, definitely not unhoused or whatever people say. Like, the guy had it with him. You know, he was doing some work, whatever. At least 5, maybe 6 cups of coffee. He kept going up, refilling, banging it back. He was chain drinking. I think that's unacceptable. At some point, you have to have some sort of, you have to have some sort of awareness that you just paid for one. That's the height of being a freeloader. It just is. Cheapskate, all of it. And I'll call somebody like that out. I didn't get his name, or I'd call him out by name. That isn't in the spirit of the rules. I'm sorry, but it's just not. Lisa's in the North Hills. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Colin. Love your show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that.
And more importantly, I flippin' love your kids on Instagram.
You know, somebody else told me that today. They love these reviews that they do.
They are awesome. They seem like such genuinely sweet. They're twins, right?
They are. You want to take them for like a week and then tell me
you feel the same way? Okay. Second of all, where the hell can I get 6 cups of coffee for the price of one?
Well,
can you say the location?
Yeah. Convive in McCandless Crossing.
Oh, I live right by there. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I like the self-pour system. Then you don't have to bother a human, but you have to have some self-control, I think, and you have to have some sort of couth.
Some decorum.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Decorum, Lisa, decorum.
Yeah. See, you and I are on the same page because I hate plastic or styrofoam mugs. I will bring my own in before I'll chew on styrofoam.
Thank you for the call. Coffee for me is something that's meant to be enjoyed. You sit there, you drink slowly, all that kind of thing. I don't like to go coffee. I don't bring coffee in my car. It's not a mobile thing. I don't begrudge anybody who does. I just see it as a take your time sort of beverage. Anyway, guy had at least 6. I like that coffee shop. It's one of my favorites. That Convive that's in McCandless Crossing. Really nice. Cool spot. Laid back. Nobody bothers you. And if you want, I guess, you can get 6 cups of coffee. I don't. I get 2. Limit myself to 2. That's it. Demand the yellow van. When disaster strikes, you demand the yellow van. Service Master, Greater Pittsburgh. Listen, maybe you got mold. You don't want mold. Not at all. Dark spots on your wall. Don't assume it's old house smell. It could be mold. Mold will put you in the hospital. It'll mess you up. It can be really, really bad. There's a lot of things in life you want. Like I said, mold, not one of them. So you call Service Master Greater Pittsburgh today, 412-826-1010. 412-826-1010. Demand that yellow van. So maybe you smell that damp, musty odor in the basement. Maybe you think that's just what basements smell like. It isn't. That's what mold smells like. Dark patch on your wall. It'll go away. No, it won't go away. You might get sick, and your wall might get really screwed up. So, 412-826-1010. 412-826-1010. Demand the yellow van. Service Master.